And this is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. We're headed to Belews Lake, North Carolina, right beside the Duke Energy Plant, the smokestacks spewing coal ash amidst this otherwise bucolic landscape, where we listened to former Vice President Al Gore, brought there by the Reverend Dr. William Barber and his Poor People's Campaign to highlight one of the four pillars of the Poor People's Campaign, ecological devastation, which is inextricably linked to the perpetuation of poverty.
Reverend Barber's Poor People's Campaign is an effort by faith and moral leaders to carry forward Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of a Poor People's Campaign, working across the country to alleviate the triad forces of poverty, militarism, and racism that Dr. King knew were poisoning the country and then still are threatening us today.
Let's listen.
The most important thing is that we hear from the people today. So we're going to have people who are going to testify about what is going on, because that is the most important thing, that we hear from the people. I want to encourage you before these cameras, and I know it's hard, but if it's all right, there's no need for them to be here.
That's right.
Tell the pain.
That's right.
Tell the nation what's going on underneath all the beautiful skies and all, what the truth is, because only the truth sets us free. So at this time, Tracy Edwards.
I am one of those that live here and have lived here for over 40 years, ever since Duke Energy has been in operation. We've had a lot of health issues, a lot of economical issues as far as not being able to get things done in our community because they are hindering our progress. But we also have a lot of issues as far as not being able to come to terms with what to do about our drinking water. They poison our drinking water. They've made a lot of people sick. They're not ready to admit what they've done, but a lot of health effects have happened to our community that they're not willing to go ahead and profess their guilt. We will continue to fight these issues. We will continue to vote out the politicians that do not agree with what we're doing because they know it's not right. It's all about money and power. I still say they're Goliath, and we're still David's with a rock.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Alfred Warren.
We need to make sure that no community is left to suffer the coal ash contamination. All the people, regardless of race, creed, or social, economic class, we have the right to a healthy community, clean air, and clean water.
Yes, sir.
We know that living in a close proximity coal ash impoundment infringes upon the basic civil rights of all. We need more transparency in the process of the coal ash cleanup. Yes. Press our decision makers to make sure that they are open and honest about the health effects of coal ash contamination. Whenever decisions regarding coal ash cleanup are made, it's time for community leaders, members, and experts to be invited by the community to have input. That Duke Energy take full responsibility to be held accountable for past, present, and future contributions that they have made to coal ash, the tragic situation, and contamination of neighborhood drinking water. My name is Alfred Warren. I've lived here all of my life for 63 years. I live within the community. I know directly how it have affected the health of our whole entire community.
Uh-huh.
I speak on the behalf of all the ones that have lost their lives and went on before us.
Yeah.
That's right.
God have brought this unity together.
Yeah.
That's what we need. This is not a black thing.
That's
this
right.
is not a white thing.
All right.
This is not an economical thing. It's a God thing.
Yes.
In love, in unity, we can come together and make a change and make a difference to clean it up.
Clean it up. Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Clean it
up. Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Brother David has. Clean it up. Leslie Brewer.
And children.
Three of my five.
This is real. This is very real for me and my family. I have five children. Three are here today. Two are adults working elsewhere.
My name is Leslie Bray Brewer. I'm a former high school English teacher. I'm a former editor of this county's newspaper. But before I was all of that, I grew up within the shadow of that steam station. I was so close I could hear the workers talking on the loudspeaker as I played in my yard. Wow. Nobody told us not to eat the fish from the lake. Nobody told me my air was polluted. I noticed the sky was a little different color, but nobody told me the problems. Nobody told us that our vegetables in the ground were imbibing the coal ash. We knew every morning when we got up, we had to go wipe off our cars before we could drive them because there was such a thick layer of coal ash on our vehicles. And then I grew up and I escaped. I said, I got to get out of here. My grandparents were poor sharecroppers. I'm white, but we were poor people, sharecroppers, who saved enough money to buy a farm we thought in a wonderful place. But guess what? It was a place where land was cheap because minorities and poorer white people lived here. That's so big companies knew they could come here and take advantage of people like us. So my grandparents ended up dying of lung diseases, emphysema, neurological issues way too soon. I raised, when I came back and bought my childhood home, I escaped for 13 years but came back. I raised four of my five children in the shadow of that steam station as I was. And from the first, they experienced severe breathing difficulties, many trips to the hospitals at night, to the emergency room. My children had such strange issues that when snowflakes would fall through the air, which, you know, coal ash was there, whether we could see it or not, when the snowflakes fell and touched my daughter's skin, she'd break out in huge hives just from a snowflake in the sky coming down. So what did I do? I moved away. When this child, my fifth child, shortly after he was born, I moved about 20 minutes away where the air was cleaner. We could drink the water better. And you know what? This is the only one of my children who never had breathing issues, who never had to be rushed to the emergency room to breathe, who had none of those problems. My health improved. In the year 2000, when I still lived here, I was bedridden. I had to go in a wheelchair sometimes when I could get out of bed at all. Strange neurological issues that would make me tick and jerk and not even sleep at night. And no doctor, I went to the doctors, nobody could diagnose it. But my neighbors were having the same problems, mysterious sores, breathing issues, neurological issues. So I knew I wasn't alone. One of us went to a doctor in Greensboro who said, oh, you live over near Cancer Lake, don't you? That's what they told us. But once I moved away and we all moved away, our health improved. I'm here today out of a wheelchair. My health improved. Now, if I carry bitterness, that's going to kill me quicker than all this other stuff. However, I urge Duke Energy, clean this up properly. Don't charge us to clean it up because it is never, ever wrong to do the right thing.
There's a thing we say when applause doesn't really fit, even though I know we're applauding her, is shame.
Shame.
The most hurtful thing I just heard her say was, when I moved away, my health got better. That's more a place for tears than it is for applause. When I moved away from my home, that's when I got well.
Amen.
Because in my home, people did that for greed that made me sick. You all hear the saying? Every child but that one. Because she moved away. How many of y'all tired of having to move away?
Yes.
Time to clean this place.
Good job. Clean it up. Clean it up. Clean it up.
I'm going to make a quick few comments and bring on our brother. And I've been saying that our brother, Al Gore, and I want to make sure, I always check around to make sure the audience is real diverse. Because in the South, I'm tired of people splitting us. And I know that if we make issues moral issues and not red or blue or right or left, but moral issues, we can hold together in the moral center. There are 140 million poor people and low-income people in this country today. The majority of them are women, children, and the disabled. The majority of them in raw numbers are white. The majority's percentage of race are black and Latino. There are 14 million poor children in this country today. There are 13 million households today that cannot afford water. And the poor are the brunt of climate change effects. There are 4 million families in the country today that cannot afford and cannot get. They can buy unleaded gas and can't buy unleaded water.
Shame.
They go right down the street and buy unleaded glass, but they can't purchase unleaded water because the water has been poisoned by corporate greed.
Shame.
And all of these places where you have these coal ash spills and other environmental injustices are in what we used to call was that least undesirable land use, Lulus. Lulus, that's the term they came up with. It means the places where they count on the poor people not either having the power to fight back or that they can go in and fool black and white people to be against each other on other issues so that they won't come together and change the politics of their area. In North Carolina, there are 1 million people uninsured. And yet your legislators from this county have refused to support expanding health care. We're in a state where we have denied expanding health care over 500,000 people, 30,000 veterans. I want you to understand there's some politicians, and you it's not about party, but they have some mean politics. I don't care how nice they do it within the rules of Robert's order.
That's right.
When they finish at the end of the day, it's just mean.
Mean.
32% of all the census tracts in North Carolina are at risk for being unable to afford water. Almost 44,000 tons of toxins or carbons are annually emitted in North Carolina. 43,000 tons. Now, we've said some things about Duke Power. I want to go a little bit deeper.
Go deeper.
Because Duke Power can't do any more than the politicians allow.
That's right. Speak the truth.
Now, I want to ask a question. And this is not about a partisan endorsement. It's about a principled endorsement. Right. It's about raising moral issues. Because I believe if folk ever know the moral issues, they'll know who to vote for. You don't have to tell them.
That's right.
Who is one of your senators from up this way? United States Senator.
Burr.
Richard who?
Burr.
No, the one from up this way. Winston-Salem.
Oh, Burr.
Richard Burr.
Burr.
Has Richard Burr come down here?
Oh, Lord, no.
I'm just asking because some people might have voted for him because, you know, he's against, you know, voting rights. And, you know, he says he's a Christian. And I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying. And he says, he don't have to do it. He passes these laws about Latino people. But I want to know, has the U.S. Senator who claims that he wins in Stokes County, has he been here
to
fix the problem of coal ash?
No.
All right, I'm just saying. Has the other senator been here? Tell us.
No.
Does the state senator live anywhere in this area, like near Eden? What's his name? Phil Berger. He's the leader of the Senate. Have they passed any legislation to clean up what's going on and to stop what's going on and to put some regulations on Duke Power?
No, he's a pocket politician.
How about the guy that's the House Speaker, Tim Moore?
No.
Have they been down here?
No.
So this is my point, brothers and sisters. You all know who the problems are.
Yeah. That's right. That's
now, they do good at splitting people. When they want to run for office, they say, you elect me, I'll protect the elections because we got election fraud. Yeah. And they lie and tell people they're going to have voter protection when it's nothing but voter suppression. And they make you think that's against black people. But in fact, those same people that vote to suppress the vote to give Duke Power unrestricted power.
That's right.
The same people that have denied health care and told us that it was Obamacare, not the Affordable Care Act, and made us think that it was just, you know, some black and brown people that were being lazy. That were, No. Hundreds of people in this county would be getting health care if we hadn't denied it.
That's right.
The same people.
Yes.
I want us to hear that. Yes. When they come in this community and tell you, I'm not for same-sex marriage, vote for me. And people get all hyped up about something that Jesus didn't even make an issue.
That's true.
And people vote for them for that issue. Well, the same people that attack the LGBT community are allowing your water to be poisoned.
That's right.
And in the moral constructs of Jesus, to hurt the stranger, to not give people clean water when they're thirsty, is the real sin.
That's right.
That's the real sin.
That's the sin.
And so I'm asking you all to do a deep dive.
Deep dive.
I'm asking you to call the people in. Now, they're going to give you some rhetoric, or we'll fix it next time. Somebody said you've been around here 40 years.
That's right.
I want to suggest some of you all might need to run. I'm just saying.
That's right.
We have to hold the politicians accountable, and you're going to have to go to them and say, show me the legislation that you passed to protect the people of this area. And when they tell you, well, we couldn't get the votes, well, if you can get the votes to suppress the vote,
That's right.
If you can get the vote to change our Constitution,
if you
can get the vote against gay people, if you can get the vote against health care, if you can get the vote to cut money for public education, if you can get the vote to cut taxes for the wealthy and make the poor and the working poor have to pay more, then you can get the votes to protect our environment and protect our water. It's a matter of will, and it's a matter of moral direction.
Moral direction.
The
problem is here that we have a situation. We are no longer pushing our politicians on moral issues, and they skate through on partisanism. And so this election, hold folk accountable. Next election, hold folk accountable. If your senator won't clean up the coal ash, go get bottles of water with it in it and take it to their office in Raleigh. Like the farmers did down east one time when they took the sewage. But we know we can fix this. Tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, they could pass, they could have a special session and pass the legislation to make Duke Energy have to clean this up on their own money and not charge you anymore. Tomorrow, not 2 weeks from now, they could have a session to halt pop lines. Tomorrow, they could decide that North Carolina is going to focus on solar energy and renewable energy. It is immediately within the possibility of chance and change. But it's only going to happen if you decide you will no longer split us, especially in the South. I personally, as a son of the South, and as I bring on another son of the South, who is a former vice president, but a tremendous and leading voice in this area, I'm about sick of people dumping on poor folk in the South. I'm about sick of people using race to split black and white people when they end up passing policies that hurt us all. Denying living wages hurts us all. Denying health care hurts us all. Immigrants hurting other immigrants hurts us all. And poisoning our water hurts us all. Well, it's time for us to say, North Carolina, we are drinking from a new well. We are drinking from the well of justice, the well of love, the well of mercy. And that new water is like living water, and it's bubbling up in our spirits, and it's even got a hold of our brother Al Gore from Tennessee. God bless you. Welcome to former Vice President.
Thank you, Reverend Barber, and it's an honor for me to be here, and it's a joy to be here with my daughter, Corinna, my friend Catherine Flowers from Alabama, and it's been so enlightening to me to hear from the local residents and those who have suffered the consequences of being exposed over the long term to this coal ash, and it's tragic when we hear about the health consequences, but it's inspiring when we feel their determination to solve this and to demand that this problem be solved. You know, Frederick Douglass once wrote that power never concedes anything without a demand. What you're hearing today is a demand from this community. I've spent most of my life since I left the White House involuntarily, and fighting for solutions to the climate crisis. And there are solutions. But I want to draw connections between Blues Lake and the coal ash pollution and the gaseous pollution that is threatening to make of our entire planet the kind of mess that they've made here. We had to stop for, on the way over here, for, or actually we didn't stop, but we saw going beside us all these train cars full of coal. On a peak day, this plant over here burns 220 rail cars full of coal. And what is left over when they burn it is this toxic coal ash. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had all these millions of tons of a toxic substance, and you just dug a raw gash in the ground and dumped it in there, you would be behaving recklessly.
That's right.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. That's right.
This is a crime scene.
Yes. Yes.
They ought to call this event CSI Blues Lake.
Yes.
This is a crime scene investigation.
It is. Yes, it is.
Now, where'd those train cars full of coal come from? Hmm. They came from the north and slightly northwest. The big coal baron that has one of the least responsible coal mining operations up there in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And he hired a lobbyist and went to the new administration right after this new administration was put in place. And he gave a letter to the new president. And the number one demand on the polluters' part on that list was to loosen up the restrictions and regulations on dumping coal ash. That lobbyist who went in with him to see one of the cabinet members just became the new head of the Environmental Protection Agency. And the very first act he took as head of the EPA was to follow through on the demand of his former employer just months earlier to loosen up the regulations on the treatment and disposal of coal ash. You can look it up. It's right there in the record. What do they want to loosen up? Well, they don't want the same monitoring of whether or not it's going into the drinking water. And these health consequences that we have heard about from those who have lived in the shadow of this Duke Energy coal plant, they come from, the doctors believe, the exposure to these toxic chemicals. Sometimes it's difficult to connect all the dots, but when so many people in the same area suffer the same consequences, it's fair to say, well, we believe we know here at CSI Blues Lake what the villain is. Now I want to make another connection for you. When they burn all that coal and produce the coal ash, they have another waste stream. And you can see it right there. Going out the stacks.
Yes, sir.
On an annual basis, there's 110 million tons of coal ash produced in this country every single year. On a daily basis, there's 110 million tons of man-made heat-trapping global warming pollution put into the atmosphere every single day, as if the atmosphere is an open sewer for them to use free of charge so they do not have to take responsibility for the pollution they're causing. Now, what are the consequences here at CSI Blues Lake of all that pollution going into the air? Well, every night on the television news is like a nature hike through the book of Revelations these days. Have you seen the fires in California?
Yes.
The biggest ever, and throughout many regions of the American West, and in places like Sweden, north of the Arctic Circle, and in Mongolia, and in Greece, and in Africa. I go Australia. They've got one of the worst droughts they've ever had because we're trapping all this extra heat that global warming pollution traps in the atmosphere, and it raises the temperature to record high levels. Some of the places in the world that are already hot are getting so hot people feel like they can't live there anymore, and some of them are becoming climate refugees, and they're shaking the political system in Europe, and they're creating problems in many places. It's heating up the oceans, and when you boil the oceans, the steam goes into the air. The boiling is an exaggeration. Let me back up here. When you heat up the oceans too much, the amount of water vapor that goes into the sky increases dramatically. And when it comes over the land, that's what causes what the scientists are calling rain bombs, where you get these unprecedented downpours. Hadn't been too long ago there was a 500-year flood near here. We have these record downpours all over the world. Yes. Last summer in Houston, Texas, they got 5 feet of rain, causing an utter disaster. The ice is melting. The sea level is rising. We're seeing the hurricanes get stronger. Now, all of this is connected to the same system that's producing that global warming pollution and the coal ash that is causing the health problems in this community. We have to change the system. We have to make new decisions about who is going to write the policy and pass the laws. Yes. How many people here are registered to vote?
Yes.
Between now and the election, less than 90 days from now, and between now and the election, 2 years and 90 days from now, if you can register more people to vote and take the advice of Reverend William Barber and do not let the polluters and those who are thriving on injustice divide us along the color line, along the poverty line, along the other lines they try to draw to keep people apart. If we come together around a moral center, this is a Moral Monday, and the Moral Mondays movement, which has been started inspiringly by Reverend Barber, has now inspired other church communities and other groups of people all across this country to launch their own Moral Mondays. Yes. Now that ecological devastation has been placed along with racism and poverty and militarism at the heart of the cause that Moral Mondays is addressing and that the Poor People's Campaign is addressing, I believe we're going to see this concern for changing this system also spread around this country. I'm inspired by the local citizens who have become activists to protect their families and communities. Thank you for what you're doing. Forward together.
So I'm glad that you all are in the fight, and we're in the fight together. But we may have to up our ante.
That's right.
Whenever there is injustice, you might use this somewhere. Whenever there's injustice,
I'm taking notes all day.
Whenever there's injustice, you have to have somebody that's willing to create enough turbulence around the injustice that will cause people to question the direction we're going in.
See, Greg, that's what I do.
That's right. The other day, I was on the plane, and the autopilot was set. But then turbulence came up.
All right now.
And when the turbulence came up, it forced the pilot to question the direction in which we were traveling.
Yeah.
If we can create enough justice turbulence and enough love turbulence and enough mercy turbulence and enough truth turbulence, we can cause the politicians of North Carolina and the business leaders of North Carolina to question the direction that we're going. I'm authorizing you today, not in Bob's name, but in the name of the Holy Ghost, to create some turbulence up here in this county, in Raleigh, in Washington, D.C., until we make people question the direction that we're heading in as a nation. God bless you.
Amen. All, and I've been preaching that, y'all.
Amen.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.